Welcome to the Jeff Knows Inc. Show with your host, Jeff Lopes, where we bring you the world's top athletes, celebrities, entrepreneurs, influencers, and their journeys to success.
We are live. We are live on the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited to have on today Kung Lee. What is up, brother?
What's up? I'm just, you know, just being alive, having another day, a roof over my head, you know, a lot of things up.
It's all a blessing.
Yes.
Before we on air, our conversation started going to a different route that I was not expecting. And I just want to start right from there. Like, we were talking about faith and we're talking about hardship that Kung Lee went through. Let's dive right into that and how has changed your faith and how has changed your outcome and your vision on what is happening right now.
Well, you know, I gotta say, at a young age, my grandfather always kept his whole family really close to God. So we prayed together before we ate, and then he made sure he had a busy job, and he would even come home, eat dinner with the family, and then leave again to go to work. So I just remember when I got to a certain age and I just finally realized, I would look over at my grandfather and I'm like, everyone's eating. I don't like the food today. How come you're not eating? You know, and he basically said, I just want to make sure everyone gets a good amount of food in before I eat. I was like, oh, so you're like saving the food for us? This is me when I was young. And he's like, no, I just want to make sure everyone's eating. I need to eat too, you know? And then I said, okay, you can have my food, you know? And then he's like, no, I need you to eat your food. So I'm eating it. I'm thinking, I don't want to eat the greens today, right? But, you know, then when he I say it was about 7 minutes later, he starts getting a little bit of eat. And he's still, and then I realized, what? I've noticed him look around, making sure, and he's been consistent with this for the longest time. So just from that, and then when I got to wrestling and then wrestled and I competed in like the high level tournaments where I would have to travel, I just remember that he always always get on his knees and pray right before I would fight or wrestle. And then someone in the family, I would call my mom and then she would call him or call someone else to tell him, hey, Kung's about to wrestle or fight. So, and he would pray. So then the one time I went to Macau against Rich Franklin, I forgot to call back because, you know, after the win, we all like went out to celebrate. I was overseas. I wasn't thinking about that. And like 2 hours later, like my phone's ringing. They're like, what happened? I'm like, oh, you should know. And they're like, no one turning on the TV or the news. They just want to wait for my phone call because they get nervous, right? So I'm like, I won. And they're like, next time you got to tell us he's been on his knees for 2 hours. After that, I'm like, oh, sorry, you know. So,
can I say one thing? And yeah. As you're saying that, I feel that it's so special as a father, and I try to be as present as I can to my children. They're 14, 16. The bare fact that what he did, it shows the power of the love, the heart, and as a provider, that is the provider at the maximum. And as a father, you're not only you're trying to educate, you're trying to teach your kids, you're trying to mentor them directly and indirectly, but you're also a provider. And he understood that and being present, because I think that's the biggest thing with most parents is not understanding what it is to be present, and him having the understanding to come home, to have dinner and then go back to work and be present. And that's before all that, all this internet and motivational speakers and all that. He was present and a provider, which is incredible, man. So I praise that, and I praise your grandfather for doing that and what he did, because obviously that indirect mentoring which he did to you turned you into a man, right?
Yes. I mean, between him and my mom, it made the huge difference in my life, understanding that, you know, you're never alone, you know. Yeah. God, at one point, you know, like I was all about just God, and then like in Vietnamese, when you say God and you say God's son, it's just one extra word. So I never really paid attention to like God is the God, the Father. Then there's God, the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God, the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. I just always prayed to God. But then when I met my wife, Sunshine Spring, her mom and her, like between them, they have like over 400 exorcisms successful. And this is like where people, this is where I can actually say, if you don't believe in God and if you don't believe in the devil believes in you, because all you have to do is see an exorcism. Now, it's a true story where people with complete black hair in one session, when they're done, their hair is completely white. My mother-in-law told me that, there's people that she's seen where their hair could just turn white because of the pure evil. So my first exorcism was back in 2020. And one of my buddies who sponsored me, who's always been there for me, sent me this journal, and it wrote like it was almost like it was the devil himself talking, said that he knows we're coming, bring us, he's going to make us, he's going to take our souls too. Like it already knew that we're coming. And then so I started an Instagram called Spiritual Battles Worldwide. And then the first week I posted it, we got like a whole bunch of like people asking questions. And then right then and there, I said, you need to do this. You need to not try to keep this so private. People need to know about this so they can understand about real spiritual warfare. So my mother-in-law finally agreed. She used to have to answer to the Vatican. And then the Vatican has a priority list, right? The richest, the most wealthiest, they're going to go and exercise the people who has a lot of money, because they'll pay them a lot of money. And it's, of course, publicity, right? But when it comes to kids and poor family, that's where my mother-in-law says, I'm going to go here first before I go do these. So one time, these two priests asked her to come, and it was a young girl who's fully possessed. Like, it was just a matter of time before she, like, dies. So the two priests calls her because they're getting thrown all over the room, because whatever the case is, maybe their faith wasn't strong enough, or they miscalculated the power and the size of this demon, because there's ranks, and they rank like number two is, I don't want to say their name, but in San Francisco, there's a grove called Bohemian Grove. There's a lot of worship there. There's a cow, like just a Moses. When Moses, in the Bible, Moses split the Red Sea open, and History Channel said that the Red Sea was opened up. They just, they're trying to prove that, of course, God doesn't exist, but the experts said it really happened. At History Channel or Discovery, you can look it up. But after Moses opened up the sea, let his people walk through it, then the pharaohs came. He closed his ocean through faith with his staff, because God Almighty gave him the authority. He closed the ocean down on 50,000 people. Then God says, go to the mountains to receive the 10 commandments, and then you can put it on the stone. Or I don't know exactly what happened, but when he left, it was only 40 days, 40 nights. When he came back, everyone's worshiping the cow, the golden cow, and doing, evil stuff. That's where, all it takes is 40 days, and look how long it's been now, right? So, but like what I saw is someone who knew something. At that time, my wife was 1 month pregnant. Only four of us knew: my son, me, my wife, and my mother-in-law. Only four of us knew. When we got there, we started this exorcism. Not me. My job was just keep him out of the way. So my mother, she brings her to the backyard where there's like a big area of dirt, and she binds, her to this area because God made the dirt. And then like after she exercised, there's like, she exercised out 8 demons. And during the exorcism, the first one happened where my wife was coming out from the restroom, and she comes out, and then, the fiance who sponsored me was wondering what's taking so long. My mother-in-law has to talk to the person and understand what's going on to make sure everything checks off. She's can't be mental, no medication and everything. So everything was, she checked out. So she just has a conversation. So when my wife went to the restroom, I you know, we always travel in twos. I just watch out, you know, by the door, wait for her to come back. But then, you know, this guy is, you know, good size. He goes out there and he provokes it and he calls it out because he's been talking to 8 different personalities. But when he calls it out, things happen. Like, he got smacked and he's about 240 pounds. His girl's like 140. When you heard the smack, you saw the handprint. And when I came out, he was getting up and my son was like this, like what's going on? And right away, my mother-in-law says, take him inside, get this guy out of here. I get him out and then I could not help it. But then this girl, his fiance, was walking weird, moving weird. It was the freakiest stuff that I saw. I got cold chills right now just thinking about it, right? So when that happened, my wife that comes out, she pulls out a whole, like, holy water. And then the way that, you know, my friend's fiance crawled to her, it was just weird. And then she starts sniffing down in that area of the crotch area and says, I'm going to eat that baby of yours. Now, how do you know that? And then right away, my wife starts throwing the thing. My mother-in-law jumped in. My wife knows a little bit of jiu-jitsu, took her back, held her down, and she spun her head around and was talking to my wife where her head is. So she turned it like 180 and was talking to her. And right away, I couldn't close the door because my job to keep, you know,
him out.
So my mother-in-law just gives me that look. I closed the door right away, but I'm right there. And it was the loudest, like every single swear word that could be said. And then all my buddies all, what's my neighbor going to think? I'm all, you better hope the cops don't come. It was that, like, it was F this, and a lot of like profound stuff, like suck this, eat this. It's crazy. So from that point, I know if people see this, they will run to God or not. But I'm telling you, people need to understand that it's not more, it's just like everyone knows about the One World Order coming, their agenda 2030. They truly think that everyone's going to be happy with nothing and no one, and every single person except the elites are going to own nothing. So basically, they want us to be their slaves. I truly believe, and I'm going to say it, I'm even putting on my career and everything on the line on this. Jesus is going to be coming before this happens. That's truly my wife and I. We seek God with all of our knowledge, with all of our hearts. And I tell you, there's some stuff on my post. I have falcons flying over with ravens, like, and then like while we're praying and we're like, oh, look. And then I start videoing. And you can hear the falcon just scream out. And like, we had so many miracles. There's so many things that has happened. I've seen someone in a wheelchair. Just about 2 months ago, we drove to Atlanta. But before we drove to Atlanta, my son was fighting. We drove to this family's house. When we got there, we parked down the street. We walked up to the house. And literally, the girl was in a wheelchair. And she started covering her ears and started screaming. I was like, oh, here we go. Now I'm part of it, right? So I've already done a few exorcisms. So like we're excited. We already said our Psalms 91. We come to the girl. We all put hands on this girl in the wheelchair. And then all of a sudden, I just see this cross hit the girl in the head really hard. And my mother-in-law was like pushing it hard. And then she cast the demon out and she pulled the girl up. She says, walk for me. And then I was hanging on to her. She started walking. She's in a wheelchair, and it was so intense. And she goes, "Come, anoint her." And so she goes, and then so I start anointing her, but I couldn't help stop looking at the mark of the cross on her head, right? And then she's all, "Come, focus," because, you know. And so she goes and starts dealing with all the other family members, because like literally everyone who's trying to help her, They believe in God, but their faith is not as strong as it should be. So we just broke down everything for them, talked to them about spiritual warfare, cleansed their house, sealed it off, and we left. And as we left, I have a picture of every single one of them smiling. and the girl who was in the wheelchair was standing and smiling. From that day, I knew what we're doing. We're on track. And then every message that I got from God Almighty, Jesus, is real.
Let's talk a little bit about what you said right there, a new world order, 2030. Like, where's your mindset with that? Where is that coming from? What do you hear about that? Like, how does it all, like, give me an understanding of that as somebody that doesn't have much knowledge.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
So someone who doesn't have much knowledge is like the World Economic Forum.
Okay, I'm aware of that. Yeah.
It's run by Carl Schwab.
I think so. So, yeah.
So all those, if you look at the One World Order, their goal was Agenda 2021. They failed because like everything in the Bible, in Revelation, but if you don't read Genesis and the Old Testament and the New Testament and all the books that's in there, you won't understand. You have to seek knowledge to understand. I can break down a few other things. Like when I broke down Moses, if Moses did all this for his people and they failed, and how long did Moses like walk with these people? Hundreds and hundreds of years, because he got to walk with God. And so if you look at it from the beginning, you can look up a book called, or I'm not sure if it's a book, but it's in CIA.gov. It's in the CIA.gov. It's called the 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Okay? So these 13 bloodlines was created to keep people apart from each other. So when I started seeking knowledge, I would ask, okay, you know, I'm really into, like, a lot of my friends are Buddhists, right? A lot of my, you know, the people I work with are Buddhists. And one of my old coach was like a Shaolin monk, Shan Lu, the first tournament I went to for full contact. And so I started talking, and one day I called up Sean. And I said, "Hey, coach, who do you believe?" And he said, "Well, you know, I trained under the Shaolin, but I believe in God." I'm all, "Oh, great, because you know, my grandmother told me that, you know, like the first Buddha, like the first Dalai Lama, says, don't worship me, worship the Father, right?" And so she, because I even have a document, the only description of how Jesus looked. I'm going to post that on my website very soon, because I'm waiting for someone to bring up this thing about the picture of Jesus not being Jesus, which is very true. They, you know, the elites, there's 13 bloodlines. Their goal is to keep everyone far from God. And
so these 13 bloodlines were created to create a separation between us all.
Yes.
Okay.
They basically run the world. I mean, you can see, there's Trump, there's Biden. They all shake Carl Schwab's hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean you have to realize we're coming from Toronto, Canada, and our leader Trudeau is a huge, huge, huge friend of his.
Yeah, but he's been trained.
Yeah.
Trudeau and the governor of Canada, where I saw an article, they both trained under Carl Schwab.
Yeah.
So if you don't know about the New World Order, here it is. Agenda 2030. Won't happen. Okay. But this is their goal. And they are they make all the money in the world. And 13 of them all combined together, basically, they are the richest in the world, and they control everything. But here it is. One world order means one world currency.
Yeah.
Right? When it comes to religion, who do you think they want you to worship? The devil. And why is the devil called? The devil's earned its name over from the beginning of time, ancient foe of mankind. Why? He hates man with all of his heart. The toothless lion, because after Jesus died, the keys were to hell were taken away, and now all he can do is slither, can't even speak, but he gives his power to number two, which is, okay, I'm just saying Baal, because and Baal, and then of course number three is the goddess of war. She rides him all the time. See, when you read this in the Bible, you see how this works and you see what they do. Now, the biggest thing is, this wasn't just about the humans. Like, a lot of people always tell me, why would God let this happen? And they try to blame everything on God. Well, who's the one who did this? It's people. It's man, not God. God doesn't micromanage. He gives you free will to make your choices. And the choices that you make will determine what happens to your soul. That's simple as that. You don't believe in the devil believes in you. But God, God Almighty, he's everyone's creator. But the whole thing on this is what happened from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve, and how the devil, and like people will even give credit to the devil saying that he had the power of lightning or the power of traveling light speed. No, in the Bible, it says that Jesus saw God the Father cast the devil out with the lightning bolt, boom, right out of heaven, just like that after what he did to Adam and Eve. So he deceived Adam and Eve into eating the fruit. And like a lot of people don't understand, well, why do you think women have a period? Everyone knows about women's period every single month. Why is birth pain so hard? Some ladies die giving birth because this is all the curse of what like Adam and Eve did to themselves because they were deceived. They didn't know any better. There's like lost books and it talks about Adam and Eve and you see how much the devil has, the devil Lucifer himself tormented them. At that time, he was allowed to walk. He had his strength. God was hoping he would repent and come back, but instead he didn't. And then he was such a good liar. He deceived even, you know, his like number two, number three, and there he has his own 13. So it's just like like Jesus. But the whole thing is, while we swear in on the Bible, we swear in on the Bible, but where's God in the school system now? How come Trudeau is being a tyrant? I mean, yeah. Look at Biden. Like, I get passionate about this, and like people said, oh, you've been punched in the head too long. Well, if that's what you want to think, that's what you want to think. Just remember, I'm here to try to help people connect with the Father, because he wants a relationship, right? He wants a relationship with his children, with his sheep, with whatever you want to call it. But you can say the Most High, the Most Powerful, the Creator of all things is your Father. Why wouldn't you want that? Why would you want a Buddha where you're worshiping a Buddha that sits as a statue, as a fat, enlightened person, and you're giving Buddha food that Buddha the statue won't eat the food? Why don't you give the food to the people who are hungry? But you set it there until it turns old. Then you throw it away. Like, people are completely deceived. You know, it's crazy. Like even my friend who was my son's wrestling coach, like I asked for understanding about like Buddha first, right? I got it in one thing. I took my son to wrestling practice, and then his coach was there, and then all of a sudden his coach starts talking to me. Then we got to talking about the Bible, and he says, hey, you know, I used to be Muslim. I'm like, oh, tell me about this. And all of a sudden he told me the story that his father, or I'm gonna say his dad, because there's only one father, you and I, we're just dads to our kids. But like literally, he says that in his religion, a lot of people, a lot of Muslims don't know that Muhammad was raised by a Buddhist, and Muhammad didn't read or write. Now, this is not my story. This is someone who is a faithful follower of the Quran.
Yeah.
So, and then he told me his grandmother, when she got the Bible, she just wanted to read through the book. After she read it seven times, she's all, we're in the wrong religion. We can't just believe in God. We have to believe in the Son of God. Muhammad is not the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've been deceived. This is what she's saying. This is what he's telling me. So she converts her whole family into not even a religion, to believe in the Father, God Almighty, the Most High, the Most Powerful, the Most Loved, the Most Merciful, the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and then the Holy Ghost. or the Holy Spirit, which is our protector and our connector to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You connect with them, I mean, life is amazing. And I get signs all the time. I like even on days that are droughts, I would drive on our anniversary and literally the whole Monterey Bay to Carmel has a mist and there's no sun. I posted on my Instagram, but those are the ones that it gets the less post because no one pays attention to God and the miracles. They just want to see violence. I post something. Hey, you are your first responder. Everyone flocks to that. But when I talk about God, hey, here's your Savior. He wants to know you. No one pays attention. And that's why I truly believe when Jesus comes back, and that's why the Bible is written in parables. It says Jesus will come back like a thief in the night. No one's going to know because everyone's too busy being part of the world, not living in the world, but they're trying to be part of the world. And I truly believe Jesus is coming soon.
Where'd you meet your wife?
We known each other since 2008 because we got on the same cover where I was on the top after I won the title and then on the bottom, right? So we kind of knew each other there, but we just stayed in touch here and there, and then we lost touch for a while. Then she posted it and she tagged me and I jumped on. I'm like, oh, I remember this, and we just started talking, and next thing we know, we ended up meeting, and then the main thing that she wanted to know, and when we were on the phone before she even came out, was my faith. And I was like, oh, I love God and I love Jesus, and you know, and look at all my old fights. You know, I always give credit to God Almighty, you know. Yeah. And then so when she met, she's like, oh, just let you know, I want to be open with everything. My mother-in-law, she does exorcism. I'm like, oh, like the movie Exorcist? She's like, no, you don't understand. When you have God in your life and when you command these demons, they're screaming. I'm like, oh. And she's all, and so we ended up watching The Exorcist together. And she's all, she starts breaking down things for me, right? She's all, you see how these demons are scared of that priest? That's because that priest is devout and all he does is he works for God, and that he does God's mission. And look at them there, and that devil, from Captain Howdy, from playing the Ouija board,
yeah,
to getting fully possessed, and as you see, that devil was scared of that priest. Whenever you're like for me, I haven't seen someone since that my first exorcism. But then after that, when we put hands on people, I had a lady who for 3 months she couldn't sleep, and so what she did was she messed with the Ouija board, thinking that she's going to reach out to her son who died with her brother in a car crash. So she was really depressed. She's trying to reach out to them to see if they're okay on a Ouija board. So she starts getting possessed. And a guy who's had over 2,500 paranormal activity researches, and then he's also cleansed his house. He says he's got it, but his backup plan, he called us in case, you know, he couldn't handle it. 3 days later, we get a call, an email from him, which I have all the proof. He says, I couldn't help. The case is yours. Good luck. Like, literally, good luck. So we took on the case. We drove up 3.5 hours, you know, and then we're doing God's work. We get there. 2 hours later, we leave. And still today, just about 3 weeks ago, she contacted us. Thank you. How are you guys doing? Before we came, 3 days, she OD'd on sleeping pills because she couldn't sleep because these demons were raping her. They were sexually abusing her. And then so after we cast out, we all put hands on her. And I was expecting like this crazy demon. And you see her almost come out and then it leaves. And what happened was, my mother-in-law had a broken back. We drove her anyways because she said, if it's God's work, I have to get up and do it. She had a broken back, right? So we got her up there. So she's weaker. She's all, come, take it. I'm like, say the prayer. She's all, take it. So I said, in Jesus Christ's holy name, I take this authority and I cast out all devils, all demons, all unclean spirits to the lake of fire, the place where our Father has created just for you. And if you don't belong there, I cast you to the deepest part of the ocean. And where you will remain there, you will be blind, you will be deaf, you'll be mute. You cannot connect with any of your other minions. And like literally, like it didn't even get to come out. And my mother-in-law says, come, you get so creative with your casting. That's why these devils, they run. They don't want to mess because everything that you say will be honored in Jesus Christ's name. And so from there, now I got 30 of like my own cases that I give it to the family, and I've been part of 70 cases already.
I love your passion.
No joke.
I love your passion for this. Let's talk a little, let's switch it back to your upbringings. You're born in Vietnam. What age did you come to America?
I came to America I left Vietnam 2 weeks before the fall of Saigon. A week.
Yeah.
And then as we left, we left on one of the last helicopters out. And then as we left,
how old were you roughly?
I was 2 going on 3.
Oh, so you're still a baby.
So I spent my first 3 months in the Philippines in the refugee camp there. Then we got shipped to Guam, and I was there for a month or, you know, a month and a half. Then we got shipped to Monterey or Carmel area where the army base out there. We stayed out there in the refugee camp. Then we got a sponsor. So by that time, I was already 3. So I was 3 years old coming to this country. And 3 is a good number. Why? Because I see it as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Trinity. I was meant to come here for a reason, and look at my career. You know, a lot of people say, oh, Kung, wish you would have started earlier. Hey, why look back?
Always keep moving forward. I always say that all the time. Keep moving forward all the time. It's funny because I say that at the end of all my podcasts when I'm shedding it out, I keep moving forward. So what was your first interaction with martial arts, wrestling? When was your first interaction with combat sports, and how did you fall in love with it?
Well, you know, like my first interaction was I started speaking English. Yeah. So by the time I was 10 years old, I was like, well, kids are so mean, you know, like they just no reason punch you in the face. I didn't know about bullying back then.
Yeah.
You know, then finally my mom says, now I'm in, like, I'm going to elementary school now. She's, hold on.
You're good.
Good. Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And so, after I got beat up, came home all bloody, my mom says, oh, let's clean your face up. Clean my face up. So let's drive around. Where are we going? We need to get you self-defense. So we went to a couple schools. She's the one who interviewed them. I don't like them. I was like, oh, look at the uniform. We're going to find the right one. The one that will teach you how to fight and teach you how to. So we drove around and we finally found one, and he was Vietnamese. And then, so I went in there, and, you know, I was consistent for, I say, the first 3 months. Then after that, my mom, you know, between working all of her jobs, she couldn't get me to practice on time. Then when the test came up, I couldn't sign up because I wasn't ready. And then the one time I did sign up, I failed the test because I didn't remember my forms. So, finally, wrestling came around, and that was, 7th grade, and I found wrestling, and I started wrestling, and I, from there, I went to the AU Nationals. I was year-round wrestling. So God gave me the path, and I walked down the path, and, you know, of course, veering off the path here and there, as, you know, as we all do, because we're human, but, you know, now I understand why the journey and everything that I had to learn to be where I'm at now.
In your first interaction, you were 21 when you first were introduced to kickboxing?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
I would say by 20. I was more, by that time, I was doing point fighting tournaments.
Oh, you already started that.
Yeah, I was doing taekwondo tournaments, and then I was winning all the local tournaments. Then even as a green belt, I was like, I'm going to go fight advanced, you know, because, you know, I want to win the bigger trophies, right? So I started paying, and I went everywhere. Then when I got to the national level, I started getting disqualified. I'm like, shedding blood. You're supposed to hit to the face, you know. Everything had, and then just people. Then I started doing continuous sparring, and I went to this tournament in Las Vegas, and there was like 60 something countries, and I was like, wow, this can be great. 2-day tournament. I go and fight, and I got to the second day, and I'm like, wow, my body's not used to this. I had like 4 fights yesterday. I got 2 semifinals today and finals, you know, tonight. And so I get through the semifinals. It's like the world, it was like all martial arts, but the biggest division was continuous sparring. You can light hit to the face, you kick to the legs, then, you know, you can like kick out the supporting leg. So I got into that. I got to the finals. I was wiped. I like literally slept, and they're like, come. They're calling you to, you're on deck. I was like, huh? I'm on deck? How long have I been asleep? 4 hours? Oh, no. So I start warming up. I get warmed up, and I'm like sweating. I'm ready to go. And they said the guy from Team Paul Mitchell was going to, was going to fight me. But then while he warmed up, he stepped on glass, and now he can't fight you. I want to fight, you know, because that tournament, I was going to win $1,000 and this belt, right? I didn't even care about the belt. I was like, I want to fight. I'm all pumped up. Look, I'm sweating already. But, you know, I came home, and from that point on, I'm like, I need to do full contact, because everyone's like, you're a full contact fighter? I'm all, no. I just fight points and do taekwondo tournaments, and I wrestle. They're like, yeah, you need to do a full contact. So from that point, I started doing full contact, and I found the U.S. Open, and I went to, you know, Alabama, and I won the U.S. Opens in 2 weight classes. I got to punch, kick, throw, sweep people, souffle them on their head, scissor kick them, you know. And then, the great thing is I drove my son with my family to Atlanta for the 36th annual U.S. Open, where I won the first one, you know, right? So not the first one, but I won the event that he threw. Then I brought him back for the 36th one. And then he goes and wins it.
Your son?
Yeah. And my son's only 17. Yeah. I put him into the adult division. And then because he's already got a pretty big point Muay Thai record. So they found the toughest guy, and it was my coach's student. So my coach's student's fighting me. And then like, he was my first Sanda coach, because he was a U.S. team coach. So now my son, who's 17, fighting his best student, right? So it was kind of cool. And my son ends up getting a second round knockout on him, dominates the whole fight, then comes back. We're driving for 3 weeks. We're going around, you know, helping people in Texas. We drove all the way by the Grand Canyon. We helped someone there, and we said, hey, you know what? Let's travel the whole Grand Canyon. And while we're along the way, we're doing exorcisms. It was crazy. Like, but even Catholic.org says they're overwhelmed with requests for exorcisms. You can look it up. It's like, we're living in Revelation times, you know? And so we got through it. We came back, and then we found out there's the state championships where my son won it at 16 years old. Yeah. Now he's 17. No one wants to fight him at his age group. So they said, hey, you want to fight an adult? My son says, yes. Then he ends up fighting 3 fights, being out of shape, traveling 3 weeks, cramped in a car with 2 dogs in the car, the trunk full, and he still goes and wins, 3 fights in 3 different divisions, and then he wins a state title. And then, so now I'm just getting him ready for MMA, you know?
Proud daddy. Look at the smile on your face. I love it. So has he had any amateur MMA fights, or is he going to try to go right to pro? What's his plan?
No. I like to get him some amateur fights. He's got a lot.
How old is he now?
He's 17.
He's still 17, huh?
He doesn't turn 18 till end of October. So
have you implied wrestling and BJJ and all that stuff already?
Oh, yeah. As a freshman, he got to wrestle the whole year. And then from seventh grade, he wrestled the junior high school.
Yeah.
Eighth grade, he wrestled junior high, and we kept him year round. Got to high school, wrestled at a really competitive school in the area. They're only second to Gilroy, the Daniel Cormier's team.
Oh, wow.
So my son was on that team. And then he went to one of the toughest tournaments. It was called the Sierra Nevada Classic. He got in as a freshman. He got top 12. Then he got a bad accident, which, So he missed most of his sophomore year, and he got to wrestle a little bit sophomore. But then, of course, COVID messed up his season.
So let's talk just a little bit about your MMA career. Strikeforce, you enter Strikeforce. You obviously had an incredible run in Strikeforce. From Strikeforce UFC, give me like one or two memories of your career in MMA. Then I want to talk about your acting a bit that really stand out, that just put a joy, a big smile on your face of just moments.
I think my first fight, because Javier Mendez and Scott Coker like hounding me, just this fight, you got to try MMA. You've done everything in Sanda. Just do this. I said, all right, I'll give it a shot. And then my last fight, I fought one of Frank Shamrock's guy, and it went the distance. But just before that, I had a hamstring surgery. So all the injuries, I didn't have that many injuries till the end of my Sanda career, because I started training really hard. I wanted the biggest fight I can get, but I couldn't get the fights. One, money situation, and other fighters, they want money too. And
yeah, it didn't
work out. So I jumped over to MMA, and I guess the rest is history. I know a lot of people wish I would have, fought earlier, but I didn't. And wishing and doing is two different things. So I figured I'm going to do what I could, because I can't please all the fans. So I'm going to please as many as I could. But everything that I do, every time I win, I give all glory to God. And even though if I lose, I give him the glory, because I learned something from the loss.
Lessons. I love that. With your acting, obviously you took the break in Strikeforce to focus on act. Are you still involved in acting, or are you pushed away from that?
I got to a point where I'd done a lot of big budget Chinese movies and some budgets here. And I realized, okay, why is it so difficult to get to the top? Right. I felt like, at the time I really know how to shoot.
Yeah.
I can shoot a gun. I train a lot of tactical guys. I can really fight.
Yeah.
Everyone likes my screen presence. What's the issue here? Why are these guys getting the breaks, right? And it doesn't come down to how talented you are, but it comes down to the entertainment industry. It's just like the rap industry. Who do you think controls the rap industry? The Illuminati does. Who do you think controls the entertainment? Look at all those big actors. They all do those covering one eye and all that. Well, what's really happening? What do you think movies are doing? Movies are trying to program people to think certain things are okay. And it's like, it's part of their agenda. And in the 13 Bloodlines, what I was telling you from the beginning, it talks about all this. It'll make a movie and it'll throw it right in your face. And no one knows. They do this enough time, people get used to it. And when they really see it happening, they don't really see it. It's just
natural
day in the life of that person. Yeah. It's literally everything's been pre-planned. Remember, the devil has been trapped since the beginning of man. And all he has time to do is, how can he make us sin and go down with him? That is his goal.
What does fatherhood mean to you? Or I want you to say fatherhood. Being a dad mean to you?
Being a dad? Yeah. Well, I've been blessed to be a dad, because it's like, when I look at it, it's like God the Father created us all, and we get to, you know, also create by, you know, connecting with the woman, marrying her, and then making a righteous life with her, and then having, you know, kids with them, and raising your kids the right way, and then, you know, you can enjoy the glory through your kids, and then praise the Father with it all, or however do it. But for me, as a dad, I just want to be the dad that I didn't have for my son. So I'm going to be the best dad I can be for my son. And everything that I do, I try to do, be the best at, because I represent the Father, because we're created in his likeness and his image. So we have to represent him in the best way. So he blesses with kids. We got to take care of the kids to the best of our abilities.
Was your dad ever present in your life when you were young?
Not when I was young. He was stuck in Vietnam. You know, he was stuck over there. And when he finally came over here, I was 8. We had to go get him. He got to France, and then where his family was. Then we went to go. My mom and I went to France to pick him up. Take him back here, and then it didn't last long. By the time I was a freshman, I was just living with my mom.
Yeah. Do you still have a relationship with him?
With my dad? No, he passed away 2 Thanksgiving away. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I wish I was able to say goodbye to him. I did call him before he got sick, you know, and then he passed away in his sleep. So it was good.
Your mom is still around?
Yes, my mom. My mom and I always have a good relationship.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what does your mom mean to you? I love hearing, because obviously you're very close to her. She was in one way both figures, a father and a mother figure to you, obviously protecting you as well. What does your mom mean to you?
My mom means so much to me, because, you know, she would sacrifice, you know, her extra time to go and get another job and make sure that she was able to provide for myself, me at the time, and her. And then, you know, she kept me close to God, and where I'm at now, I'm just so thankful for having a great mom, being blessed with a great mom. Thank you, Father. And just where my life is, you know, I can't look back and say, I wish I would have fought earlier. I'm happy with what I did.
You can't control the past. Honored. Yeah. So, yeah. You got to the highest level, right? I mean, that's a massive accomplishment. And two, obviously from the kickboxing world and the MMA world as a champ, 2 champs, right? Which is accomplishment. When you think of any sport, whether it's a professional NFL or NHL, to get to the highest level and then to achieve a championship is so hard. The stats are all against you. So you did do it. I mean, you should be very proud of what you accomplished. When you look at your son, do you find very similarities in his style? And like, what do you look at? Is there a mirror image? Does he have his own style? Like, what do you look at your son?
When I look at my son, I look at like, I would say as a younger kid, it's a better version of me. Why? Yeah. Because I'm a better dad than when I didn't have a dad like he did when, you know, I was, you know, young growing up. I had a great mom, but you know, you need that dad. You need that dad in the house, because you know that, you know, while the mom says, "Don't be fighting at school," the dad's high-fiving you, saying, "Don't let no one pick on you. You know, give them the black eye." But you know, I didn't have that. You know, I just had a mom. But my mom was, you know, when she saw me come home bloody, she's all, "Oh, that's it. Let's go." I'm like, "Where are we going? Let's clean your face first." You know, clean my face. Where are we going? We're going to the karate dojos around here. I'm like, why? You want to learn a fight? You better learn. You can't come home like
this. It's crazy. She was your first. Yeah. She was your first direction towards martial art, which is pretty amazing when you sit back and think about it.
Yeah.
I always ask everybody, if something were to happen to you today, in a few words, how would you want to be remembered or described by your loved ones?
I would want to be remembered as a God-fearing, God-loving, and a righteous human being that always gives his 100% in everything he does. That's what you want to remember about it. Like,
Where do you see your son's, like, where's the end goal for your son? Obviously MMA, have you already, I'm assuming just because your name and who you are in your career, has there people been reaching out to you already knowing that your son's transitioning to MMA, trying to already like, hey, come over here. Has that started already?
Well, Scott Cooker already says that he'd like to sign my son when he's old enough. I just put it in God's hands.
Yeah.
I'm going to let God carry and guide him down his career. And I'm just along for the ride, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Give me a day in your life right now. Like waking up, obviously doing your exorcisms and all that stuff. But give me a day in your life of when you wake up, what do you do? Is it obviously, are you still training yourself?
Yeah, so as soon as I wake up, the first thing I do is give credit and glory to the Father and the Son through Jesus Christ. Then we get up, and then my son's usually up before me. That's how, you know, he's getting stuff ready, making sure his gloves are clean and stuff like that. He loads up the gear, and then by the time I get out, he sometimes would have breakfast ready, and then, you know, sometimes we're like in a rush, or he'll be like, hey Dad, can you make a, because I make the smoothies, he likes to cook eggs, so I make the smoothies, and then and then we just get to the gym and we train. Then we come back. He does all his schoolwork. And then I let him rest a little bit. Then we go back to evening training.
So you do the double training, which is amazing.
Yeah, I do double training. And then one thing, as soon as his body, like I know him really well because I'm spending all this time with him. As soon as like I see him getting a little fatigued, oh, you know, not training tonight. And then that gets him like, why? Why are we not training? I said, because I feel like you need a day off. I don't need a day off. Let's go train, go spar. And just recently he got cut, right? And I got a video of it. And, you know, I feel like he's getting, you know, a lot better. And then he's one of those guys, he's super nice, right? That's one thing that I can say, that if he got a little bit more of that blood, butter, he's a shark now. Man, he's going to be even more dangerous. Because in these practices, you know, at first, I remember I told him, because my oldest son, I pushed him too hard. See, my oldest son is 21 now, right?
Yeah.
I pushed him too hard. At one point, he was undefeated in continuous sparring. He already had 3 tournaments. Then I took him to Javier Mendez. Javier Mendez had an MMA kids tournament in his school. I brought my son in there. He won the tournament. I'm like, wow, that's great. You avoided some arm bars. Good job, you know? And I'm all, okay, you're going to join wrestling. He joins wrestling, doesn't get through the season, gets his black, like before he joins wrestling, he already got his black belt. And he's like, I'm done with, you know, this wrestling, this training stuff. I got my black belt. That's all I'm gonna do. Like I think I pushed him too far. Right. So I learned the hard way with my oldest son. Now, so with him, I make him want it more.
Yeah.
So you're not training tonight. Like, why? I need to train. Come on. You know, these guys are training. You know how hard you train. You're getting trained by me. So just, and then I'm one of those guys, my teacup's half empty.
Yeah.
I'll take him in the morning to the Coach Major. He's really good with the hands.
Yeah.
He does all the, you know, like Mayweather stuff. I want him to get a feel of everything.
Yeah.
I take him to a different jiu-jitsu coach. You know, he has his own wrestling coach. But then when we work together, I don't just work on one thing with him. I work in, I help him put it all together.
Yeah, the total then package.
He has a very similar dynamic style. I got to say where he's at right now, because I had to develop my hand. My hands were not like as good as his were where he's at now. And his kicks are, it's crazy. He likes these double kicks. And then now he's finding his rhythm. He'll double kick and then he'll get people defending stuff that's coming from, you know, right or left. Then it opens up the center. He double kicks and he'll side kick. He'll double kick and back kick, you know, and he's finding his timing. And then, I just want him to mature at the right thing. So that's why I said, it's not me. You make mistakes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in God's hands, because God don't make mistakes. Yeah. So his career will be, you know, flawless. If I go with God and go with me, there's, you know, there's gonna be some stumbling blocks, you know. So I'm gonna put it in God's hands.
This has been such a fun conversation, man. I love your passion. I love what you're doing. When you're doing an interview with people, and I've interviewed, I've been a guest on about 100 podcasts, and I've interviewed about 190 people in the last 2 years. And you never know when you're getting on how the reaction will be, how the person is. And obviously everything you're doing, you have a joy for life. You have a joy for your family, and you have a passion. So I love everything about you. And I just want to say thank you for doing this. Is there anything you want to leave our audience with?
I actually have a question for you.
100%.
Since you said you've been on 100 interviews, right?
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
What's your take on this new world order and all, everything? How much do you know about what's going on?
I would say I have a lot of close friends that are a lot more educated in it than I am. I was actually on the phone yesterday with one that's very, very, I think you guys would have a in-deep conversation about it, being from Canada, because obviously Trudeau and stuff. I do see, and you did see it with the last 2 years with COVID, how they're pushing and testing the control patterns on people. And especially coming from Canada, our lockdowns here were just vicious. You have to realize that I think we're the only country still, and if I might be wrong, mark me wrong, the only country still that has a mandate on masks in trains and in planes. I was just in Chicago this past weekend with my family. We went to Wrigley Field to watch a game at the Cubs from Toronto. We drove down there. On the way back, I had to put an app on my phone and upload our vaccinations, or they wouldn't let me back my own country.
Wow.
So think about that. That's after, and we're now officially fully opened and everything, but you need to be fully vaxxed and have this app on your phone, which is crazy, because this app, they're trying to make this app seem like it's something where they're trying to see if you have your vaccination. But when you're filling this app out, it's also where you were, what hotel. It's like a track of who you are, where you were, what hotel. How long you stayed, almost like a survey on you. Plus it's your vaccination. You got to upload the photos. You got to upload your passport. You got to take a picture of your passport onto this app. Yeah. It's a crazy, and they won't let you in the country without this.
Like, this is all of Canada.
Yeah. All of Canada. Yeah. All of Canada. Wow. And still my wife is, leaving, this next week to Portugal to visit family with my two kids. She went there for a week, and I wasn't aware. I thought the mask mandate was off, but apparently in planes and in trains, it's still mandated in Canada. You have to wear a mask. And when I was researching, I think we're probably one of the only countries that still has that mandate, which is pretty crazy. So when you think of what you're saying with the New World Order and that, and people that are more educated than me that talk about it, it's there's so much evidence to it, right?
Well, see, I think what you're doing with the phone, right? They're just prepping you, because the phone, as you see, as Carl Schwab, he's got this minion dude who's kind of like his little Igor, it's crazy where they're like, oh, you know, humans, they have this God. And then he says, oh, but, you know, we have the capability of hacking the human body and put it into the grid. So what they're doing on your phone, when you have to get a phone and you scan your bar, it's almost like pretty soon it's an inconvenience. Put in your phone, scan, and already, I believe, is it Switzerland and another country already has the chip going. So as you see,
that's next level scary shit.
Yeah, but like as you see, there's human cloning.
Yeah,
If you're cloning someone, where's the soul coming from? I mean, there's all these things. It's right in front of our face, but we still don't see it, because that's how their blueprint is. So people don't see it, but you're living with it, and they put it right in front of your face because they have to get your consent. It's the same way as like the devil can't take your body unless you allow it to. And we're created in God's image and likeness. That's what a lot of people don't understand. And we're special in that way. And God, let's say if it's your college, your final, how much time are you going to put into it? Right.
Yeah.
Now just think, the final doesn't give you any money. It's just will give you a good grade. Yeah. And look at the time you put into getting a good grade. So if people can look at that and say, I'm going to put the time in, I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to understand the Bible the way I should understand it, because everyone will understand it a different way, because it gives you messages. Like literally, like my wife and I will get like 10:33 or 9:33 or numbers, and we'll look it up in the Bible, and 95% of the time it's something that we should be doing, or it's a message to us, or like 10:33 is like, you're doing good. And we get it all the time. I get messages, and I've been living at this house here for 3 years. I've never seen so many ravens. I've never seen so many hawks, vultures, dragonflies, ladybugs, like, because we ask for all the sprinkles. We ask for him to talk to us. That's how he talks to us. At one point, I even have a picture, and I just went through it. I'm like, holy crap. Even see, let us see, I have a picture of a sunset, because I took the picture because I love the sunset. It's yeah. Right in my valley. And I zoomed in. There's a UFO by the sun. I have it. I didn't know it was there. I just like, what's this? Holy, that's a UFO. Thank you, Father, for letting me see this, because I have all these questions about it. And even in the Bible, he talks about extraterrestrial. He talks about other people are friends of God, but of course they have the good, they have the bad. It's all in the Bible. It's like people, it's like the book of what you need to be doing in your life with your wife, right? You and your wife, you guys love each other. You have kids. You're sending her off with the kids and you're doing work here. That's like a family. That's a family unit.
You know what it is too, Kungli, is I was actually a guest, like I said, on a podcast yesterday called the Citizen Podcast with a gentleman named Dan Holloway. And we were talking about that. And we're in one of the topics we were talking about is the herd mentality, where people follow an agenda or follow a path that is most populated, not because they understand it, because they just follow it. And it's crazy is a lot of people don't seem to want to have an open dialogue or ask the questions. They'll just agree to whatever they're told to do, and they don't stand there and ask a question why, or they don't stand there and open up a dialogue conversation to understand why this is happening. And that's the biggest issue, is people are not creating an environment where people are comfortable enough to ask the questions, because they feel like the minute you open your mouth and ask a question, you're going to be blacklisted, put into a box, which is so scary for a lot of people, because they fear whether they're going to lose their career, whether they're going to lose an opportunity or lose a relationship or a friendship, because they ask a question or they feel like they're not educated enough on this topic. They want to learn more. But the minute you open your mouth, you're looked by society in the wrong light. Does it make sense?
Makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. So another one last question.
Yeah.
When society, does this, but now you know what's going on, and they say, hey, Jeff, you got to put the chip in your hand, or you can't work, you can't buy food. What are you going to do?
Oh, I won't. I'm definitely not following that path. I guarantee them. Definitely not. I'm going to tell you something. And I was actually talking about this yesterday, and this is just my mindset of how to live. And we're, like I said, I was talking about this yesterday on the podcast. When COVID hit here, they put mandates where they literally locked you in your house. You weren't allowed to see your family. You weren't allowed to leave your house. You're only allowed a certain amount of people in the house. So they said, hey, you got parents. You're not allowed to see them. Talk to them on Zoom. My parents that I love dearly, I said, fuck this shit. And I literally still went 2-3 times a week, brought my kids to my parents' house. We spent time with me at dinner with them. I did my normal life. And thank you that I'm so grateful I did that, because 15 months ago, my father passed away suddenly with a heart attack. And if I had followed their mandate, I would have lost the last year of my life with my dad. So I've never been one to lock myself into a box and follow these regulations. I do what's best for me, best for my family. And that's the way it is. And I've always been like that, and I always will be like that. So no, I don't, I would, no, that's not even, I will not be It's just, I will not be falling in that path. 100% not.
Okay, cool. I just want to know, because, you know, a lot of people just, you know, they are so busy that they don't want to have put out time to realize what's going on. So they will go and do what they have to do.
No, I've never been like that. Never, ever. And I won't change. I mean, you have to realize, I mean, you don't know much about me. And actually, I'm going to talk to you something about off air when we get off, but I've been an entrepreneur for 26 years. I'm 45. I've always been self-employed. I've had a gym. I've had event companies. I've done all this stuff. My main company is, which is great for the martial art world, I've had a company called Kimura Wear. I started in January 20th, 2006, and we design and manufacture boxing martial art equipment. I've been doing that for 16 plus years. That's my main business. Oh, and we, cool. And we deal with about 1,800 gyms, and we'll talk after the air because I send you some stuff. But that is, so that's my background. But being self-employed, you have to fend for yourself. You have to learn how to hustle. You have to learn how to drive. Remember, you're talking about your son having that little grit. I've always had that. And that mindset, when you have something like that, you have to understand that you're not going to walk the same line as everybody else, because you're never going to accomplish anything. You got to find your own direction. You got to find your own path. So I'm very strong in understanding that. So yeah, I see exactly what you're saying, and I understand it. I don't have the knowledge of it as much as most people probably as you do, but I do see the patterns. I do see what is happening, and answer to your question is absolutely no. I'm not going to follow the herd. I'm not going to follow the group, and I'm going to think for myself and do what's best for me and my family.
Awesome. Cool. Hopefully a lot more people will take that mindset.
This conversation is to be like, we get a huge audience, like a mass. The last 16 months, we've had over 2 million downloads. Our YouTube channel has gone to 26,000 subscribers. So you're going to get a huge audience listening to this. And we do a lot of posts and push. So a lot of clips. So there will be a huge audience listening to this and listening to your message. So I think it's a good outlet for you to keep spreading your word, right? You're the best. Thank you so much. Let's keep this conversation going. And once again, thank you for coming on the show, buddy.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Thank you.